You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today my guest is another of the Republican candidates for governor in Illinois. And by the way, the primary date was changed. In the past, the primary was occurring at about this time, the third Tuesday in March, about the third week in March. This year, it's going to be changed to June 28th, or this year, election year only, anyway. We'll see what happens, but it will be June 28th. My guest again is one of the candidates running for governor in the Republican primary. His name's Jesse Sullivan. And you've probably seen a lot of his signs out. I have out in this neck of the woods. Jesse, thanks so much for taking the time to come on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
This is, as I understand it, this is your first run for office. Share with our listeners a little bit about your background and why you chose this time and this office to make your debut running politically.
Yeah, great. Well, I am a Central Illinois guy. So born and raised here in Petersburg, Illinois. One of eight kids. I grew up working on a farm. And actually, outside of the farm, my first job was dressing in pioneer clothes and working at Lincoln, New Salem. So these old log cabins down here. And talking about Abraham Lincoln. And boy, have our politics strayed away from those values, you know, honesty, character, integrity. I want to get them back to that. And, you know, so I grew up learning these core values in Central Illinois of faith, family, and service. And those aren't just talking points for a campaign. They're how I've tried to live my life, which is my Christian faith is the core driver of my entire life. And I really truly believe that if we're going to save Illinois and make it a great state again, the number one thing we can do is deepen our relationship with God as individuals, as a community, as a state. And next is my family and the role of fatherhood and motherhood in our society again. I wish we could lift up and so I'm a father of five kids with my wife, and we have two foster children. So it's a beautiful chaos in the Sullivan household. And lastly is service. You know, my faith is always called in what way I should serve. And so I did counterinsurgency work over in Afghanistan. I was a civilian intelligence analyst helping set up local police forces over in Afghanistan. And taught me at core to protect and serve. And finally, I've been doing business and trying to back entrepreneurs to create jobs of the future. And I, you know, just was trying to solve these problems around the world of, you know, bring exceptional values of freedom, democracy, capitalism, when I realized all those values were under attack. And right here at home, it just seemed like our home was falling apart. Our politics were dragging everything down. And so I ultimately decided I needed to step in as an outsider. And if you want to change Illinois, you have to change the governor. And we just are getting terrible performance and results, and we need to change our politics in this really broken state. Because I love my home, but I hate our politics. And so that's why I decided to run for governor.
One of the first issues I'm going to talk about right off the bat, you know, population loss isn't good overall. We were one of the fewer states across the country to lose population. But in our area, in the Quad Cities region and up and down the river, you know, as you would figure, it's more sensitive because people can more easily go across the river to Iowa or down to Missouri or Wisconsin or Minnesota when you live closer to those areas if you perceive that the costs are lower, taxes are lower, or whatever. So it seems like we're more sensitive to population loss. Is that something that you're hearing a lot about and you're wanting to address? And if so, how?
Absolutely. If you look at one indicator of is a state healthy or not, or is the government doing a good job or not, it's are people vote with their feet? Are people coming to the state or are people leaving? And the answer is clear in Illinois that people are leaving in droves and record numbers, you know, 120,000 people in the last year alone, setting records, you know, for just how awful our state is being run. It's ridiculously high taxes, corruption through the roof, you know, and then crime and sending people fleeing from our cities, not feeling safe. And then you have all the COVID stuff to add on top of it. And you had a lockdown as leadership from J.B. Pritzker. And I, as I went around the entire state, everyone said, you see that over there? That's the land of the free. And I didn't know if they were talking about Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, everywhere around us seemed to be, you know, going by this principle of freedom. Whereas J.B. Pritzker just decided, let's lock everything down. And he loves to talk science. Well, Johns Hopkins did research to say, let's look at states like Florida, you know, that just opened up, and DeSantis, who lived by this principle of freedom and not shutting down the economy. No real difference in COVID numbers at the end of the day between states that had those. But the economic recovery side, just awful. We still, you know, we've been losing a ton because of this population loss. The economy, I read a stat of about $31 billion the Illinois economy has lost due to population loss here. And so we have to get things back in order. We have to have a commitment to growth in Illinois. We have to lower our taxes. We have to get rid of this corruption. We have to make our streets safe if we're going to start to attract people back into the state of Illinois again to want to live, work, and raise a family.
You touched on several issues, and we're going to get to all of them in more depth, but I want to start out with economics and jobs in Illinois. It seems like we've just been underperforming for a long time, and that's my personal opinion, regardless of who's been governor. And it just seems like we could be doing better. How do you envision the state's economy in the future, Jesse? I mean, we went through this period of globalization, and you've done a lot of work in the global economy. And our manufacturing base has been hurt here in the Midwest. But how do you see our economy in the future to best reflect our strengths, and how do we get there?
Yeah, so this is an area I feel really strongly suited to be able to weigh in on and actually try to fix. Is my background was, you know, I felt, you know, my faith always called me to try to help people in need. And so I would go, you know, in Haiti, and little kids would say, give me something good. And over in Afghanistan, we would have, you know, these young men, they had no jobs or opportunity. And I realized handouts were short-term temporary band-aids. They didn't actually get at the underlying root cause of what moves a family up out of poverty. You know, handouts typically create dependency. And what you needed, if you really cared and wanted to love a person all the way to outcome, was about creating jobs and growing the economy. And so it's the dignity of hard work. And so that's why I went back to business school out at Stanford and created my own venture firm to say, let's back entrepreneurs that have ideas to try to grow and create the jobs of the future. And so, you know, that's the work that I've been doing. And I think back here in Illinois, you know, we can create the jobs of the future. But if we're going to do that, you know, we have an environment right now with regulatory burdens that are so strong. We have taxes that are just out of control. And we have a more mobile economy than ever. I think COVID sped it up. And you could just see, you know, people fled to low tax states. So you look at Texas and Florida, we have to say we want to look more like Texas and Florida rather than California and New York. And that is a conscious decision. Those states have zero income taxes. We have to have that as a North Star, to have income tax zero in the state of Illinois. Because you do, you have a larger freelance economy, and you look at rural parts of Illinois. You know, I was able to run this venture firm from my home in a town of 2,000 people because I had internet connectivity. And so, you know, making sure that we have really good internet infrastructure and fiber out in rural communities so that we can take advantage of these industries of the future. And, you know, that I think we just have to have a commitment to growth. And the current governor wants to tax his way out of the debt problem. And what you see is anyone who can leave the state does, because they aren't going to stick around. So then you have less people, less businesses with a lower tax base that you have to tax even more to try to get revenue out of. And it's a downward death spiral. We need a commitment to growth. And so that's really what I'd be bringing is, you know, that commitment to growth. And one last thing I just want to bring up is how corruption is so tied into this question. Because we are going to have infrastructure dollars coming into Illinois from the federal side. And it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity to really work with communities around the state that all have their own comparative advantages and industries that they can work on to build towards the future. Because I don't want to go visit my kids on an airplane or drive across state lines so that they can have jobs. I want to create those jobs here. Well, the process we all know that's going to happen with these politicians is it's going to be backroom dealing. It's going to be who's connected to who and who's going to give what patronage networks or what contracts to whom. And that's the way things work here. And so I want to run a process that says, let's work with local communities and regional hubs and chambers of commerce to say, what is the comparative advantage here? What are we going to do to build out the industries of the future here? And what infrastructure needs to be put in place to do that?
On taxes, I'm sure you're aware Iowa just used to have a graduated income tax that was steeper than Illinois's. It just shifted to a more of a flat rate system like Illinois has. And obviously the governor proposed the graduated income tax, which failed at the polls. What do you since we are more of a flat tax type system in Illinois, are you saying just cut the rates and for homeowners and for individuals and businesses, or are you talking about any type of more fundamental reform where income tax is reduced but some other tax comes in to take the place of that?
Yeah, no, we are a tax and spend state. We have one of the, we do, according to some, you know, different studies and firms, we have the highest tax burden in the entire nation when you add up all of our taxes together. And what do we see? Do we really see the benefits of that? Do we feel like Illinois is the best run state because they're collecting so many taxes from us? Not at all. You know, that's where the whole corruption and just the lack of accountability for outcomes comes in. And we've got more units of government in the state of Illinois than almost, I think it's the second highest, and if not the highest in the entire nation. It's really a patronage network. At democracy at its base level, and I learned this in Haiti, Afghanistan, you know, around the world in these challenging environments, is at its base level, democracy is those who get into power divvy up that power to benefit their friends and their in-group. It's the insiders in Illinois that have been benefiting for so long. So we're paying these high taxes. We're having agencies that it's not a problem of funding. It's a problem of outcomes and accountability for outcomes. And so I want to bring those principles back into government. We're going to reduce the size of government. And when it comes to the taxes, we do. We have to set a North Star of moving to a zero income tax state. And you saw J.B. Pritzker have this exact opposite mentality. The first thing he did when he came in was, hey, let's do a graduated income tax system. Well, lucky for us that the people of Illinois are smarter than that, to say we are not going to give a blank check to these politicians because they're going to keep raising rates on all these different categories of people. And so, you know, what I think that what I propose we do is we learned a lesson from that. If we give the people of Illinois the opportunity to vote on any new taxes that come along, that's the way it should be, not just the legislature, the people of Illinois via referendum get to decide whether or not they want a new tax. And I'm going to veto any new tax that comes across my desk until the people of Illinois get a say on that tax. And for me, it's taking power away from these insider politicians and giving it back to people again. And that's the philosophy I'd be running off of. But if we want to, the last thing with taxes is, you know, these politicians, they decide let's raise taxes so high on everybody, and then we will lower that tax burden for certain industries. And we will provide incentives, and we will lower them, you know, property tax-wise, the whole scheme that Madigan had created, you know, for real estate taxes. And it's the same for these subsidized industries. We need to lower taxes for everybody, and it should be free market. I'm a free market capitalist. We need markets to be deciding which industries should be winning out, not politicians.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. This is your host, Robin Johnson. And my guest today is Jesse Sullivan, who's a Republican candidate for governor in Illinois. This is the second of my interviews with the Republican candidates lined up to run in the primary in late June this year for the chance to run against incumbent Governor J.B. Pritzker. Jesse's been talking a little bit about his background, his diverse background, his reasons for running. We've talked about the economy, population, loss, and taxes. I want to turn, and this is, you're going to seem like this is a softball question, our listeners, but it really isn't, because I feel like it's a legitimate question. I mean, the agriculture economy in Illinois is so important, but yet it's driven a lot by federal policy in some areas. Do you see a role for state government in guiding agricultural policy, and what should we do? What should state government do specifically to maybe promote the ag industry?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I'm looking out my window right now. I'm in central Illinois and looking out over our corn and soybean field. And so we don't have a ton of them, not a ton of land, but it's just, you know, the way that I've grown up. It's a way of life to grow up on a farm. And one of my favorite jobs growing up was putting up hay. With a lot of farmers don't believe me when I say that. That's hard work.
I remember doing that.
Yeah, do you?
And yeah.
Great. Just to be physically exhausted at the end of the day from hard work.
Yep.
We just got to get back to those values, you know, in our society. And people who grow up with those Midwestern values, you don't lose that. And that's the type of hard work values I want to instill back in our government again. And so when it comes to, you know, agriculture, we just have to make sure in Illinois that we take care of our farmers, and we are the breadbasket of the world, you know, here in the Midwest. And so I want to make sure that we really are just doing everything we can. Actually, today is National Ag Day and Farmer Day. So reach out to a farmer and thank them for, you know, the food that they're producing here and in the United States, because it's really central to our economy. And so, you know, here's what I believe most in is decentralized control. Right now we have a governor who believes in a one-size-fits-all model, top-down approach to our economy, to the rulemaking he did during COVID. I don't believe in that. Because I grew up in central Illinois, I felt like, man, it always seems like Chicago dominates everything. You know, I really believe in this Republican principle of localization of control, decentralization. So local people should be making local decisions for how they would like to proceed. And so, you know, whether it's on the small business side and the way that all the regulations come in, you know, we've got to work back towards doing that. You know, the last one I want to just talk about on the ag side is really about energy independence. And right now you look at what happened with, you know, Russian oil, and it just has Ukrainian blood in it. And the fact that we were moving towards energy independence, and we really had it. And then now, you know, we produce biofuels here in the Midwest, you know, especially with ethanol. And so, you know, when we can create these plentiful sources of clean energy here, I think we have a real advantage. And so we have to take advantage of those opportunities and resources that we have here, and not, I mean, right now we have just overly burdensome regulations that are always coming in from the top down, and these tax burdens. And so we've got to get away from those and really just unleash the private sector in Illinois again.
You mentioned corruption in Illinois, and I don't need to go through for our listeners all the litany of the number of governors that sent to jail and all that. Everybody's aware of that. The General Assembly has passed some measures. What do you propose? Do you think we need to go further in Illinois to crack down on political corruption and government and promote more government reform measures?
100%. This, for me, we've become a laughingstock around the nation, just being one of the most corrupt states in the entire nation. And really, Madigan, it's a symbolic passing, because this is a person who has designed into our system decades worth of corruption and a culture of corruption. So I don't think with his moving on that it's going to end. But symbolically, it's about next generation leaders stepping up and stepping into government and saying, enough of this. We are not corrupt people. We are not the capital of Capone. We're the land of Lincoln. And the land of Lincoln means we act honorably. We have honesty and integrity and character, and we need that back in our politics. I really truly believe this, that the governor we need to put in place is the person who will, behind closed doors, be the exact same person he is out in front of everybody else. And you look at Governor Pritzker, he was the person on the phone call with Rod Blagojevich when the Senate seat was for sale. He has given, you know, $10 million to Madigan and his political operation. We uncovered through a FOIA request his top level of his administration interacting with these patronage network hires, the clout list sent from Madigan and McLean. And so, you know, for me, we want the strongest ethics reform in the history of the state of Illinois. I want to say, if you are a corrupt legislator, lobbyist, or special interest in the state of Illinois, your days are numbered. when I'm governor, we are going to clean house. And so we put forward, that means term limits. We want to implement strict term limits for all elected officials. We also need, you know, to put an end to this revolving door between legislator and lobbyist, because politics should not be a career. It should be about short-term public service, and it should not be a pathway to a lucrative lobbying career. And so, you know, Florida had this most stringent revolving door policies of 6 years. We want to put 7 years in place where you can't move on to becoming a lobbyist. And also, you know, we had the legislative inspector general, Carol Pope, who said her job is a paper tiger. She didn't have the opportunity to actually go after corruption in the legislature. Well, she never endorses anybody, and she came out and endorsed me in our campaign to say every suggestion she had for how you move that job from not being a paper tiger and actually have, you know, harsh penalties and empower an investigator, we're going to do. And so do I think that the fox guarding the hen house is going to pass this legislation? No, I don't. I think the legislators will not. And what we're going to do is we're going to shine a spotlight on them back in their districts. Why won't you pass ethics reform? And we're going to run next generation leaders, moral leaders, to become the land of Lincoln again, to change out and actually get legislators who view this as short-term public service the way I view the role of governor. And we're gonna clean up Illinois and make it a virtuous state again that we can be proud of.
The General Assembly in the last session passed a crime reform bill that's been very controversial. I've had members of both parties on my show. The Democrats are defending it. They're saying that it was needed in order to promote more equity in the treatment of our criminal justice system of minorities, which they feel passionate about, that it hasn't been fair. On the other side, the Republicans are saying it went too far and is going to have some negative consequences for public safety. How do you come down on that, Jesse? And as far as, everybody wants some, safe streets, but how do you address some of the fairness issues that the Democrats have talked about?
We've actually come up with a plan. We went around and we spoke with law enforcement officers all around the state. And you know what they said to us? We did not have a seat at the table. During this Pritzker administration, we have just not had a seat at the table. And we were trying to shout out this terrible, what they call anti-police bill, passed by J.B. Pritzker, that is gonna be ruinous for our state. And 40 out of 102 sheriffs around the state of Illinois are quitting or retiring early because of this anti-police bill. It does crazy things. And so what I think is we have to be the safest place. That's how you build an economy on top of it. It's the number one role of government is to make sure that your people are safe. And so we need to actually defend the police and not defund them the way they have through these unfunded mandates and not filling positions. And also, we have to take the handcuffs off of the cops and put them back on criminals again. And so for me, that means we put together this plan. It's three pillars. It's enforce the law, it's defend our heroes in law enforcement, and it's restore accountability in our justice system again. And that's what they've tried to do, is take accountability out. They think, the far left thinks that if you just don't lock people up, that's somehow going to be more equitable. That is absolutely false. There's nothing further from the truth. You know, the dividers among us, they want to say, oh, it's Black Lives Matter versus Blue Lives Matter. No, it's not. That's ridiculous. 95% of the deaths, the homicides in the state of Illinois are against black and brown people. If you care about those lives, which over 1,000 happened in Cook County last year alone, it's like a corrupt war zone, then you are going to do something strong to support the police. And this is where politics always wants to insert itself. I think we have a real problem in Illinois of government overreach, just politics encroaching into every area of our lives. It's encroaching in places it shouldn't, in the education side, in our classroom. It's encroaching into policing where it should not be. We need to get back to professionalism. And no one dislikes a bad cop more than a good cop. And yes, you have to take care of whenever there's a bad action, but that is the rarest of instances. And so they just came in with this far left kind of mantras, and now they're seeing the effects of it. And it's really awful. So we have the strongest backing from sheriffs, active sheriffs around the state are backing our campaign and have endorsed us. And I'm really proud of that. You know, I don't care as much about political endorsements, but when these sheriffs get behind you and say, this is a person who can bring safety. And it was my experience over in Afghanistan. you know, as a civilian intelligence analyst, setting up these local police forces that just put at my core protect and serve. And these are men and women in our law enforcement that are going out and protecting and serving us every single day, putting their lives on the line. We owe them the utmost respect, not just with our words, but with our actions. And they really do deserve a leader who has their back and who's going to back them up and give them the resources they need to do their job.
We have just only 1 minute left, and I'm going to ask a quick two-part question. First is, please share your internet address for people, your website address for people that are interested in more information. And secondly, if you would, just make a closing argument. You've got a deep, a lot of good candidates running for governor. Give your closing argument, like in a case in front of a jury, on why you're the best choice.
Great, thanks. Well, it's jessesullivan.com is where you can check things out. And the way I view this, if I were in your shoes, I'd say this. Does this person share my values? Are they a true conservative? I am. I'm a fiscal, social, constitutional conservative. And I believe all of our rights flow from God, not from man, and we need to push back when those rights are infringed upon. So does this person share my conservative values? Next is, can they win? Can this person actually beat J.B. Pritzker come November? Because I don't want 4 more years of Pritzker. We're going to have people fleeing an exodus out of the state of Illinois. I can win up around Chicago, and I'm a downstate guy, but I also am someone, you know, my wife is Hispanic, our kids are, yo puedo hablar en español. We need to head into communities that have been independents and moderate Democrats and said, you are actually conservative and hold this set of values. You're pro-family, you're pro-faith and hard work, and we're going to bring them into the fold. We also have Glenn Youngkin's team that won out in Virginia. They came and joined our team. We're going to win. And lastly is, can this person lead? Once they win, can they actually fix the hardest problems facing our state? My counterinsurgency background allowed me to actually make our streets safe and support our police. When it comes to building the economy of the future for our children, I have that background of building businesses and creating industries of the future. And so on all of these areas, I feel like I'm someone who can represent the core values of Illinois, of faith, family, and service. And we need a person of character back in the office. And I want to go to heaven more than I want to be governor. And I want to represent those values back in our government again.
One last thing I'll throw in, and I appreciate your campaign being very accessible. I spoke with your competitor, Paul Schimpf, last week. Both of you have websites that are very easy to reach your people to arrange interviews. Not all the candidates do. So as somebody who has a show and in our listeners' interest, try to get a lot of different guests on, including candidates for important offices, I do appreciate that. Our guest today on Heartland Politics has been Republican candidate for governor in Illinois, Jesse Sullivan. Remember, the primary election is coming up in late June this year. But Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, hey, thank you for having me. And thanks to all those Illinoisans out there who are going to fight to make our state a great one to live in again.
Heartland Politics is a production of WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. If you enjoyed this conversation, you can hear more on the Heartland Politics podcast, available at WVIK.org, in the WVIK app, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You got this, girl.
Love Girls, the podcast, is all about storytelling and empowerment.
Our mission is to share a space for women and girls to talk about the stuff that matters to them most. Love speaks to the support we give each other as we search for our own path to success.
L, we can lead the way.
O,
overcome barriers.
V,
value each other.
E,
and empower each other. That's love.
Because every girl has a story.
And our stories matter.